Patty Klein with Pete Knows Real Estate EXP and Next Move with Cut to the Chase.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 70, entitled Family Are Your Roots. So today I've got a featured guest who is now a dear friend of mine. And I tell you, you know, I've been rather modestly shocked over the past couple of days of getting to know her as to her musical talents and all of the great things that she's doing out in California. But before we jump into that, I'm gonna recite a quote here. And the quote says, "Our family is like a branch of trees. We all grow in different directions, but our roots remain as one." So today we have a featured guest who has worked in a real estate agency or industry for over 15 years. She was born in California and has gained a tremendous amount of experience in motherhood, in fitness, and in music. But where she has truly sought out her passion is for real estate. As a California native and seasoned real estate agent, she values and trusts her clients and serve them to the best of her abilities. In addition to helping her clients find a home, she's highly active in the community and has extensive market knowledge. Outside the office, she enjoys working out, singing, and spending time with her family. She has helped many professional relationships over the time in different companies, and she has loved her time with Pete Knows Real Estate EXP. Looking forward, she has many, many more years with this amazing team, and she's prepared to basically jump in wherever she sees fit. So on top of that, now some tidbits of information, and we won't look at this as trivia, but she started out at Jack in the Box. And so for those that don't know what Jack in the Box is, Jack in the Box was a very, very famous franchise, and they served just about anything from hamburgers to chicken, so forth and so on. But I'll tell you, this weekend when I listened to a song, or actually a couple tracks that she sent over to me, just took me to the stratosphere of her talent and her voice and her musical capability, which we will talk about later on today. Some other fast facts about her. Her superpower hero superhero power is being invincible. And I can tell you from what I know of this lovely young lady, she is definitely invincible when you hear her story. Her proudest point in life was obviously becoming a mother, as we mentioned before. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce Miss Patricia Klein. Patricia, do you have any opening remarks?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be on a platform like this.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are delighted to have you on board and looking forward to kind of diving into the conversation. So Patricia, let's talk a little bit about how you got into real estate, you know, and what brought you to be such a knowledgeable, trustworthy real estate agent. You know, we know that you feel like real estate is your home away from home. Help us understand a little bit about how you got into real estate.
Well, actually, Greg, when my music fell apart on me, I had to consider what I could be as passionate about. Mm-hmm. What would make me get up every day and still live a dream? And as I inquired a little bit, I realized that I'm a people person, mm-hmm. and I love beautiful homes, mm-hmm. and I live in a thriving market. And with the ability to still work with the entertainment industry and athletes with Next Move, I decided that this would also be a great idea for me to make the shift into the real estate industry. And I have a great broker who taught me something, and he told me a long time ago that you have to ask questions, but then most importantly, you need to stop and listen.
Sure. Sure. Thank you for sharing that with us. So, as I've alluded to with our listeners, your musical talent started very early on, and you had some successes, and then, of course, you had some failures. So let's go back a little bit, because I want to talk a little bit about your musical career and where you were heading before you went into real estate, and then also talk about some of the health concerns that you started to experience during that time. So let's start with the music aspect. So as we understand it, you were basically prepared to sign a record deal at some point in time. So take us through how you got into music, and then, you know, what happened with the record deal, and then so forth and so on.
Sure, Greg. So many years ago, I won't say that long ago, but in my young 20s, my fiance at the time had a dear friend of his who was engaged to Carney Wilson of the Wilson Phillip Girls at that time. Mm-hmm. And we befriended one another for some time, and she ended up coming to my wedding, where I then performed several songs, Whitney Houston and a couple big names. And to her surprise, she basically had me on my way back from my honeymoon, meeting with a pretty well-known music manager, Mickey Shapiro, and then an incredible friend and producer, David Harvey, which led to studio time and a showcase, which led me to a record deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so during the time that it was leading up to your record deal, there was some significant things or chain of events that occurred during that moment where you were prepared to go forward with the record deal, but then you had kind of, as I would say, the rug pulled away from you. Walk us through that, and what were the thoughts and the emotions and various things that were happening at that point in time? Because like you said earlier, you had to kind of pivot into something else that would give you that fulfillment, that vibrant energy that you were looking for in order to be able to move forward in life. What was that like?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, when you think that you're going to sign a major deal with a label company and then find out that there's been a complete turnover, it's pretty heartaching. You know, mm-hmm. The music industry and the entertainment industry is not a forgiving one. And, you know, this isn't uncommon. Things like this do happen. And with that being said, it rocked my world. And I was very disappointed that several things had fallen apart, including a deal with Starbucks and a CD compilation at the time. But, you know, what do? You gotta move forward and keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, you brought up a couple points where, you know, in today's society, there's so many folks focused in on social media. They're focused in on, you know, becoming the next greatest, let's just say, you know, star. And some of that is related to music. Just how hard is it to get into or to break into the music industry? Because it's not just about having a great voice. There's look and appeal to the audience. And, you know, what are some of those things that, you know, if you were talking to somebody that's listening to this program today, you know, kind of a lesson that several lessons that you took away with trying to break into the music industry and what you learned with the difficulties that you endured?
I would say that there's no shortcuts, and mm-hmm. simply do whatever you love, whether it's singing or acting or anything in the entertainment industry. Do it as it's your art. You know, sing at the festivals and go to the fairs and sing for an audience of one if need be, because really you become the artist that you are with many, many, many shows. And like I said, it just doesn't happen overnight. It's an uphill battle. And unfortunately, a lot of times it is about who you know and politics and things that, you know, a lot of people don't want to discuss.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, as we've talked about a little bit about your real estate career and your music career, you're also very much into fitness, which is also a part of your life. And so during your singing career and as well as your your real estate career, you have been a very avid participant in working out and so forth and so on. But then you were stricken at a point in time with, diagnosis of your health condition. And kind of walk us through that and what that has done to you, and kind of help our audience understand the significance of your current disease.
Sure. Well, I was a teacher in fitness, like you said, and strong girl and, pretty active woman. And so one day I woke up and basically was experiencing a lot of muscle weakness and fatigue. And right there, I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. So, it took 4 years on a journey to get diagnosed with a rare disease called myasthenia gravis. It's a long-term neuromuscular disease that mm-hmm. leads to different degrees of skeletal muscle weakness. Mm-hmm. So it affects your eyes, your face, swallowing, and vision. So it was pretty scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the disease itself, as it took toll of your body and your day-to-day activities, when you started to, go through the discovery of this, I mean, the impact of that and the support from your family was obviously needed at its most highest at that point in time. So how did you begin to reconcile with your passion to do some of the great things that you've done, from working out to singing to obviously being a real estate agent, to be able to conquer and deal with this disease? I mean, you said it took you 4 years, but you're still in the tranche of dealing with this today, presently, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. And so, does it impact your day to day on a daily basis, or is it something that kind of comes and goes with your physical exercise?
You actually nailed it on the head right there. It does come and go with activity, but there's several treatments. It's pretty widespread, the different things that you can do with this disease. One of them is a thymectomy. Another one of them is IVIG. And mm-hmm. the other one is mesotone and steroids. So all of those things, are kind of hit and miss. You have to individually figure out with your neurologist what plan works for you. But there are days that I find myself under the weather and realize that I've had to learn how to take care of myself. I've learned how to be able to say enough is enough, or I made enough phone calls today, or I don't need to do cardiovascular for an hour, and be able to just sit and be.
Right. So when you face those type of circumstances, does it completely shut you down, or is there a kind of, as you mentioned earlier, there's a fatigue that begins to set in, and then you just kind of, as you say, you kind of rest at that point in time. Is it a sudden impact, or is it kind of a gradual impact to your day to day?
It can be both. I know that sounds okay. Very confusing, mm-hmm. but there are times when it hits you like a brick, and there are times when you just slowly start to deteriorate. But right. With those things being said, and the treatment that I do receive, which is the IVIG, I find myself very grateful. And typically, once I have that treatment once a month, I'm a rock star.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Excuse me. So are there many cases like yours here in the U.S. or throughout the world with regards to the disease that you have?
Greg, I believe that every year it's about, 3 to 30 million people, 3 per million, 30 people. So the numbers do change, but it is pretty rare. And I think more importantly than it being rare is that we would know a lot more, but a lot of it gets undiagnosed because they simply aren't looking for the right thing. It's a very quick test once they figure out what this is, but it can go undetermined because it can present itself in so many areas as, you know, it could be MS or it could be cancer. And there's so many things that the doctors aren't looking for sometimes.
Right, right. Yeah, when we were talking about this in your discovery call, it was obviously rather intriguing for me because, you know, my family, you know, has dealt with, you know, different family members that have had different things. And I guess the closest thing to similarity that I could put my head around at the time is one of my nephews has like a mitochondria disease where, you know, you can't really digest protein. And so therefore the body, you know, needs proteins in order to build muscle and so forth and so on. And that was something that he was diagnosed with at a very, very early age, basically as a baby. And, you know, I know through the circumstances that, you know, our family has dealt with that, you know, that it's difficult. And I can only imagine that you're active and you're vibrant and you're moving and you're, you know, you're flourishing in the aspect of real estate, which requires you to kind of course, now with COVID, but, you know, prior to COVID, I'm sure you were moving around a lot and meeting clients and showing houses and all the great things that go along with that. And then having this, just like you said, hit you like a ton of bricks. I can only imagine it was just so unpredictable, you know, at certain times in your life. Is that a fair statement?
It is, Greg. And, you know, I guess that's where we find out what we're really made of in the storms.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So your family, as it relates, you're a mom, you're a wife, and basically you're in tune with growing your family and basically ensuring that, you know, there are all of the essential resources and things that are needed for your family to flourish. And so what are some of the things that, as you look at how you stay glued together from a root standpoint, that your family has been extremely, extremely supportive during this time? I mean, what was their take on this when you guys finally figured out what the diagnosis was?
I'm going to be real honest with you there. I think it was denial. Because I am vibrant and this disease is a disease that unfortunately a lot of people will end up looking at you and thinking, well, you're great. You're all put together. Everything's fine. It's mm-hmm. a silent disease. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was very confusing to my family. And I think they're used to being in awe of mom. Mm-hmm. So it took them a long time to really be able to digest it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, certainly. You know, like I read off in the intro, you know, your superhero power is, you know, invincibility. And, you know, when you think about the overall aspect of someone that has the energy and the resiliency and the ability to overcome, and then something like this stricken them, it's hard to cope with. I mean, the mindset is probably something that it just becomes, like you said, unbelievable, you know, initially. And I'm sure there was a, you know, a variation of ups and downs, peaks and valleys and cycles through the course of particularly you trying to get diagnosed that didn't wait well with them either, because, you know, they didn't want to see you suffer. And I can only imagine, like you said, if it had so much unpredictability to it, it probably was something that really probably scared you more than anything else. And certainly we're delighted and we're glad that there's a treatment, there's a positive road ahead for you and all the great things that are leading up to your success as well as your family's success, you know, as you continue to prosper and flourish in life. And so we'll keep our prayers out for you for sure.
Well, Greg, it's with a heart of gratitude that I can just say thank you. Thank you so much for letting me share a little bit of my story And, you know, it's our faith that has kept us glued together. And I really thank you and wish you all well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So as we get ready to wrap up here, you know, there's always takeaways that, you know, we try and have our featured guests provide to our listeners with regards to, you know, our subject matter. And since we are talking about family or your roots, the things that come to mind for me is, you know, what were some of the strengths or words of encouragement and maybe even prayer, spirituality? What were some of the things that really you could share with other listeners that are going through struggle, whether it's health struggle or just growth or just trying to basically keep their family intact? I mean, what are some of the things that you could share with our listeners?
Well, I guess I could start with, it's not where you start the race, but mm-hmm. where you finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was giggling when you shared a little bit about Jack in the Box, which I only worked there for a month, by the way. Ha.
Yeah.
But I would say that this is a crazy journey that we're on. And I look at it as though it's temporary. We're here for a time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes the things that got me through were the basics, a smile, a bird, a mm-hmm. Walk on the beach,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
having a girlfriend to have a cup of coffee with,
mm-hmm.
or a glass of wine.
Sure.
And just really knowing that you're loved by somebody, a family member, a friend, and being able to humble yourself enough. I was very prideful in the beginning because I was always the giver.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn at times to ask for help, ask for a ride, ask for somebody to pick up a bag of groceries for me. And I think that we have to be able to humble ourselves enough to realize that we can't always be perfect.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Certainly, things can be taken away from you in a split second, and it changes your course and destiny of life, your journey of life in so many ways. As most of our listeners have heard in some of our prior episodes, they know in 2012 for me, you know, things were kind of stripped away or taken away, and, you know, you hit rock bottom and you got to kind of rebuild. There was no health situation involved, but surely there was a lot of things taken away, from my father to finances to losing a business and a company and my kids. I mean, it was just a real mess, you know, that I had to endure, and years and years and years to finally turn all of that around. But, you know, with all that being said, you hit the nail on the head. You know, be humble, be thankful, be grateful that you wake up to another day, and just be blessed that you can move forward with people around you that support you and love you unconditionally, because their compassion and empathy, you know, it carries you forward during those difficult times and then those darkest hours. And so I've got some fun facts for you, right? I mean, you know I shared just as a little bit of trivia with regards to your first job, but I think we have something in common. And this is why I said that earlier on, because my first real job, besides, you know, being the young kid that would go around and cut grass in my neighborhood in the hot, sticky, sweaty Mississippi weather, is that I used to make sandwiches at Subway's. And, you know, the story would go for me is I enjoyed that job, you know, to a point that it became like you said earlier, if you have a craft or skills in the arts, such as acting and singing and so forth and so on, you know, utilize that to your fullest capability if it makes you happy. And so I'm going to share this with you because I think it just resonates with the fact of trying to pull this all together. So my first job was at Subways, and you know, eventually after you go through all the training, you figure out all the processes. You know, it's just like with any other job, you know, you learn, you know, the most efficient way to be successful. And so for me, I'd gotten to a point maybe after, let's say, 60 days of working with the franchise that I was working with, where I introduced them. I said, okay, guys, I said, we really have to make this feel a little bit more homely. And so they were like, well, what are you talking about? I said, okay, we know at this point in time is when our rush hour comes through. And this is when we get a lot of people inside the store. And this is the time that we start. And this is the time that we finish. I said, the best thing we can do when those people open up the door is to have bread baking and fresh cookies baking so that you get this aroma of, you know, this warm, soothing and inviting invitation of in making, you know, just making you more hungry. And so we started doing that, and everybody would start showing up, particularly at that time, because they knew we would always have fresh cookies and fresh bread. And long story short, it actually worked. So after several weeks of this trial and error, people would come in and just say, hey, you know, is Greg not working? And people would say, no. Well, why aren't the cookies being baked? You know, it's 11:05, you know, I want a fresh cookie. And we started selling milk and everything else. So I guess we all, like you said, we all have to start somewhere, but it doesn't really necessarily set our course and journey towards what our destiny is yet to become. So it was interesting in sharing that. Yeah.
Greg, you're making me smile. I think you stole my recipe for a successful open house. You're really a salesman.
Oh, well, you know, I can always say in my 50 years of age that I've been around the block at least once or twice, probably more times than I want to convey. I know I've been around the world a couple times, so I've seen a lot there as well. But yeah, hey, I mean, you know, you have to do what works, right? And that just happened to be one of those little tactics that worked, particularly for this little store, which was a way for them to have a competitive edge over the other franchises. Because believe it or not, across the street we had a Burger King, and then I think there was a Sonic's, and I forget the other restaurants that were across the street. So lunchtime, everybody's competing to get into these fast food places to get the best quality food. Of course, Subway's was a lot more healthier than some of those other places. But yeah, you know, just a kind of an interesting story to put a spin on it.
I love it.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Patricia, this has been outstanding, you know, for us to have this moment and be able to share a little bit of time about, you know, you, your triumph, you know, your successes, you know, your passion for real estate. And so the only other question I have at this point in time before we try and wrap up is, I would love to hear the whole CD. You sent me two tracks.
Well, you know, it was really funny because I had to dig around in the garage for those. You know, it used to be on a site. I don't even want to say they don't have anymore, MySpace. Right. So I had to do some digging, and I only have five songs, but I would love to send them all to you. And super grateful that you listened to them, and I hope you enjoy them. And thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly, you know, my wife, when she listened to the one that you said was kind of similar to a Disney track, that just really resonated with her. And we were all in shock and awe, just to be frankly honest with you, because we've had a lot of musicians on the program, from, you know, soulful folks to modern rock to jazz, contemporary piano players. I mean, just all different types of musicians. But, you know, when we heard you sing, that was, it just really resonated. I mean, I know when we talked to the Discovery Call, I would compare you more to, like, I don't know if you've heard of Stephanie Mills. Have you ever heard of that artist, Stephanie Mills?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, your vocal range is like right in a line with her. That just powerful, soulful. Oh, man. Folks, I don't know if I'll have authorization to share any of this with you, but certainly you got to listen to that track at some point in time. But it was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And we wish you well, Patricia. And certainly as we wrap up here, you know, we'd like to say thank you for being on the program. And we look forward to continuing to collaborate with you out there on IG. And if there's anything we can do from a Cut to the Chase perspective to assist you in selling homes through our platform, we're all in for that. And, you know, God bless you and your family, and we wish you well.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate this time that we've had together and getting to know you, and look forward to serving your audience in any way that I can. And you have, by all means, my permission to play anything. So thank you once again for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And to our listeners, certainly we'd like to say thank you to everyone. And this has been episode 70, Family Are Your Roots. Take care, everyone. And bye-bye.
You want change, you want to buy some happiness, some peace of mind behind security walls. As you walk down the street, don't the people you meet remind you? When your heart was young, you were not afraid to hold someone and love the world. The clock ticks away. If you think you can make it alone, you've got it all wrong. And what I need is someone who will share my dreams. When your heart was young, you were not afraid to hold someone and love. Place for us, time and space for us.